I asked Mason if he would read from Ecclesiastes 1 there. Beginning talks about various cycles that we have in life, and we've just finished a cycle. We've finished a year, and we've begun a new year, and by God's grace, we have an opportunity on the first Sunday of the new year to be here to worship God, and I'm encouraged by the presence of everyone. It's certainly good to see everyone here, and it's good for us to be able to come together to worship. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in just a moment, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture there, and just let me say at the beginning that I apologize for our technical difficulties. We're having a little trouble here at the building, different things being out, and the projector's out, and so I apologize for that, and if you would like my notes or something along those lines later, just feel free to ask for that, and I'll be glad to try to get you that. In just a moment, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse 20 or so. Talking about the Lord's church, the word church is used here of the assembly. And in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in mind, yet in malice be babes, but in mind be men. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by lips of strangers will I speak unto this people, and not even thus will they hear me, saith the Lord." Talking about the prophecy of speaking in tongues that would happen in the New Testament church. "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbelieving. But prophesying is for a sign, not to the unbelieving, but to them that believe. If therefore the whole church be assembled together, and all speak with tongues," and then he goes on to give some instructions about that. Notice in verse 23 there, "if the whole church be assembled together." Assembled is ecclesia, from which we get the word church in the same verse. To be called out, to come together into an assembly. And so I'm using the word church in verse 23 today in that sense of the church that is assembled together like we are this morning. And in that sense, then, I ask this question as we begin the new year. Church, why bother? Why bother coming and being assembled together? That's what we want to look at this morning. You go to school to get an education. You go to work to make a living. You go to the gym to exercise. You go to the store to shop. You go to the lake to fish. But why go to church services? Why go there? Some look upon the church service as a bother, or they look upon it as something that I will do if there's completely nothing else left scheduled for the day. If I just happen to have some time, I'll go. But if I'm feeling a little sick or there's something going on, I'm just not going to go. So it's either a bother, some sort of unnecessary burden to be dealt with, a have-to kind of a thing. Or it might be something more along the lines of, I don't mind going, I'll go, but everything else has to be completely 100% perfect before I'll go. Some go because they have to, not because they want to. Or some attend because of some sort of a bare minimum approach. I remember one time in another congregation, myself and some others visiting a member of the church who hadn't been present for weeks and weeks. And when we went to visit him about that, he said, "How much would I have to come to get you all from not seeing me anymore?" So this is the idea of, give me the bare number minimum that you would be happy with, to where, you wouldn't be breathing down my neck and that type of thing. That was in another place, another member of the church. I want to talk this morning about church. Why bother? Why bother to assemble together, verse 23? Why bother? And again, I apologize for not having the outline, and I hope we can follow along together. First of all, we bother with assembling, and we bother with coming back this evening and Wednesday evening for these reasons. Let me ask you this. What would it take to get you to come back tonight? What would it take to get you to come back tonight? What would it take to get you to come back Wednesday night? You ever thought about that? So let's talk about that. Why bother? Why bother with coming back this evening at 5 p.m.? Why bother coming back Wednesday evening at 7 p.m.? Can we do better this year than being once a week or Sunday morning only? First of all, we bother because God bothered to create us through His power. He bothered to create us. He wants the children who will serve Him. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we are made in the image of God. He created us male and female. We are made through His power. He made us. And all He asks in return is for us to come and worship Him, to give us some time. He's the creator of all things, Revelation 4:11. And He makes us. And turn with me to Psalm 95. We come to worship before our Creator. Psalm 95, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah, our Maker. We bother because God bothers to create us and make us. And all He wants us to do is to come a little bit each week to bow down before Him. What would it take to get you back tonight or Wednesday night? God bothers with us. We need to come and worship Him. But number two, we bother because God bothers to sustain us each day. Do you know that we're here because of the providence of God? We're not here just simply because we drove here. Well, I'm here because I got up myself and I drove here and I was able to drive my car. We can't move one inch without God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 25. We bother because God bothers to take care of us every second. Right now you're breathing because of God. Right now you are breathing and sitting here because of God. I'm here because of God. And at any moment He could take all of that away. Acts 17, 25. I want to back up to verse 24 because it talks about worship. The God that made the world and all things therein, that's what we just talked about. We bother because He bothered to make us. He made all things. He made the world and all things therein. He, being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He served by men's hands as though He needed anything. Stop right there. We're not here because God needs us. If I didn't have those people show up on Memorial Boulevard, I would just go out of existence. He doesn't want us to come worship because He needs us. We worship because we love Him. We need Him. He's not served by men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He Himself give it to all life and breath and all things. He doesn't need us from the standpoint of needing us to exist or to function. So that's not why we're here. We're here because we need Him. Verse 26, He made one of every nation. He made of one, Adam and Eve, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our very being. We would cease to exist without God's providence. We bother because He bothers to sustain us each day. Colossians 1:15, Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. In Him all things are held together. Colossians 1:15. And Hebrews 1:3, He upholds all things by the word of His power. At just any moment when God wants to say the word, this universe will be gone. The judgment day will appear, and that'll be it. He doesn't need us. He upholds all things. We need Him. And so we bother because God bothers to sustain us each day. Does God sustain us on Sunday morning only? Does His providence work on Sunday morning only? It works every second of the day, 24/7. And so we can be more of giving our time to God, knowing that He gives us His providential care 24/7. Is a couple of hours on Sunday morning or an hour on Sunday night or an hour on Wednesday night really too much when you consider that God gives us His care and attention 24/7? Add up how many hours there are in a week, and we're asking 4 hours a week, 2 on Sunday morning, 1 on Sunday evening, 1 on Wednesday evening. Number 3, we bother with church in the sense of 1 Corinthians 14. People coming to assemble together because God bothers to save us through His love. Turn with me to Romans 5, 8 through 10. He bothered to put His Son on the cross. He bothered to love the world even when we were sinners. And that's hard to do, to love someone when they're not loving you. I may have said Romans 8. I was going to read Romans 5 beginning in verse 8. I'm sorry, Romans 5 beginning in verse 8. We bother because God bothers to save us. But God commendeth His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die when things were going great. He died when we were sinners. And look at those people, when what they were saying and doing when Jesus was on the cross. They were taunting Him, spitting at Him, poking fun at Him. And at the very moment, He was saving them. We bother because God bothered to save us a long time ago by putting His Son on the cross. The least that we could do is come and worship Him a little bit. Let me ask you this. If your spouse died to save someone, or your child died to save someone, your son died, your daughter died, your spouse died to save someone. Maybe it was like someone rushing into a burning building and trying to get these people out, and they're getting people out, and in the process of that, they died. Let me ask you this. What if your spouse died or your child died, and when it came time for the memorial service, the people that they saved didn't even show up? How would you feel about that? You know who they saved because it's on the news. Here's all the people they saved. But then when you look around at the memorial service, they're not there. How would you feel about that? Would you feel something along the lines of, well, they died in vain? Or they died and these people don't even appreciate it. They don't have enough appreciation and love and care and concern to even show up at the memorial service. Every Sunday there is a memorial service here. And there are two different times that you can be present at that memorial service. Each time that we don't come to the memorial service, think about what God is feeling. What He's feeling is, my son died for this person and they didn't even show up for the memorial service. It's called the Lord's Supper. And it was a great thing that we could take it this morning. And it's a great way to begin the new year. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. It's a memorial service. And we have an opportunity to be here for the one who died for us. But when we're not here, and we could be, then we've skipped the memorial service. And just think about what God is thinking about us. Just like we would think about if someone skipped our son's memorial service. We bother because God bothered to save us. And He asked us on the first day of the week to remember Him each first day of the week. And we have opportunities to think about what God does for us, even at those times, for example, on Wednesday night, when we're not taking the Lord's Supper, obviously. We have times to show our gratitude and our love toward God. We bother because God bothered to create us. Because God bothers each day to sustain us. And because God bothered to save you and me through His love. What would it take to get you back tonight or Wednesday night? We have a good crowd here this morning. I'm encouraged by it. I would like to see all of us back, but even more importantly, God would like to see all of us back tonight in our same seats. What would it take to get you to come back tonight? what would it take you to get you to come back Wednesday night? You know, some churches are actually trying to get people to come back at certain times. They're struggling with attendance. You'll see this in news stories. Various denominations are struggling getting people to come. Do you know what they're doing? They're trying everything they can to get people to come to begin with or to come back. Some who aren't coming at all. So they're jazzing up the service. They might provide entertainment. They might bring in something. They might show a movie. They might bring in some form of entertainment to jazz up the service. There have been some, I've even heard among churches of Christ, what I'm talking about, non-institutional churches of Christ, where they're looking for another preacher, and the elders are looking for another preacher, and they're saying, you know, we're really hoping with this preacher change that we can get some people to come back. People are changing preaching styles, getting a new preacher. Some denominations are going as far as, you know, bringing a circus in or entertainment or Super Bowl parties at the building to get people to come back, you know, on the Sunday of the Super Bowl and things like that. Well, obviously those things are not scriptural, and so we're not going to do that. There's no gimmick that we can offer. There's no decision that we can make to do some sort of unscriptural practice that'll get you and me to come back. It's our love that gets us to come back. It's our desire. It's our maturity. It's our appreciation for the Lord. Some churches are removing the evening service altogether because they've had trouble getting people to come back. And some churches of Christ are beginning to do that. Or they're taking the service completely away when it falls on a day of a man-made holiday. In the case of Christmas, some churches of Christ did not have Wednesday night services last week because church services was on a Wednesday night, and that's Christmas Eve, and so they got rid of the service altogether. Some will get rid of the service on New Year's Eve. But you say, well, you know, holidays, and sometimes it's not even a holiday, it's just Super Bowl. They're getting rid of services on the Super Bowl. And when you ask them, well, we can't get people to come anyway during those times, and so we might as well just shut our doors. We're in a sad state of affairs when we've gotten to that point. We can't do something like that. We can't cave in and cater, and we need to do what the Lord wants us to do. What would it take to get us to come back tonight or Wednesday night? Let me suggest a few things. Turn with me to James 1:17. Would it take more love from God? If I just had more love from God, I would come back tonight or Wednesday night. Well, in James 1:17, we learn that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, coming from the Father of lights. You can't get more love from God. You can't get any better service. You can't get any better blessings. You can't say to God, if I could just get something better, every good and perfect thing that you could ever want or ask for is already coming from God. No, it's not more love from God that'll get us to come back. It's more love from us. That's what'll get us to come back. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. No, not more love from God, more love from us. What would get us to come back tonight or Wednesday night? Well, if we just had a better God to worship. Turn with me to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. If we just had a better God to worship. Well, let's think about that for just a minute. The God of the universe, who He is and what He has done. Is there something better that we could get out of Him? Is there another God that is better? Other religions have other gods, Vishnu and Allah and other gods that people worship. Do we need to switch and go over to one that's better in some way? In Psalm 86, verse 8 and 9, there is none likened unto thee among the gods, O Lord. Neither are there any works likened unto thy works. All the nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord. There is none like him. We don't need, or you couldn't even get a better God. He is it. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25. We don't need a better God. What we need is better children of God. We need to be better children of His. We've got the best God we can get. We just need to be better children of His. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25, to whom then will you liken me that I should be equal to him, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, talking about how that God made all the stars and other things that we see. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power. No one is lacking. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? There's no one that you can come close to comparing to God. We don't need a better God. We need better children. We are children of God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. And turn with me there. In 2 Corinthians 8, the Apostle Paul is talking about brethren, Christians, who have been giving themselves before they even gave of their contribution on the first day of the week. They were giving themselves to the Lord, to serve the Lord. The contribution was just an outflowing of that. And in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, but as you abound in everything, 2 Corinthians 8, 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Talking about the grace of giving. Some versions, instead of the word abound, have the word excel. We need to excel. We need to be better. Now look at these things. We need to be better. Go down through the list, verse 7. We need to have a better faith. A stronger faith that will cause us to be here. Better utterance when we say things that we're speaking for the Lord and saying good things. Knowledge of His Word. Earnestness. We need to excel in earnestness. Where we're earnest about our Christianity. And part of that's attendance. Earnest. It means on fire. It means hot. It means zealous. Do you know that in some cases, and I'm sorry to bring this up, it may be embarrassing, I'm sorry, but it's true, that there are cases, and it's the case here, that those who are not members are here more than those who are. I'm sorry. That's the truth. There are those who are not members who are here more than those who are. I would be embarrassed if I were a member of the church and a non-member was showing up more than I was. I would be embarrassed. And I would hope that I would want to change that. And I said it's the case here. I'm not trying to single out someone here because it's been the case elsewhere. This was the case once in South Carolina where one spouse was a member of the church. The other spouse was not, and the spouse who was not a Christian, the spouse who was not a member of the church came to every service. And some who claimed to be baptized Christians and members of the church, they didn't come. It's not just here. I've seen it in other places. And so earnestness, we need to excel and do better at being earnest. I'm going to be here when the doors are open. Number three, would I come back tonight or Wednesday night if I had a better book to study? Turn with me to Psalm 19, verse 7. If I just had a better book to study, what is the Bible? You cannot get a better book than God's Word. This is one of many descriptions in the Word of God about the Word of God. And one is really plenty. In Psalm 19, verse 7, speaking of the law of the Lord, consider what God's law, His book, has done for us. And when we come together, all the sermons are Bible-based. All the classes are Bible-based. We don't come in here and then switch to another book. This is the book that we're coming for. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. If we need restoration, that book is the only thing that can do it. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. That's talking about the book of God, the Bible. We can't get a better book. Well, if I just had a better book to study. No, we don't need a better book. What we need is better students of the book. Us. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we read that when Paul was in Berea, they were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And then last of all, what would it take to get us to come back tonight or Wednesday night? Well, if I just had a better group to be with. If I just had a better group to be with. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. You cannot have a better group to be with. Well, you don't understand. My buddies at work, no. My friends. Me sitting in front of the TV, no. There is no better group than God's people. And so we have the best group of people who love us, who want us to go to heaven. We're trying to get each other to go to heaven. We're trying to encourage each other. We don't have to come into an environment where there's foul language. We don't have to come into an environment where somebody's trying to bring us down in some kind of way. We can come in and just nicely and easily and in an enjoyable way worship God and be with good people, the salt of the earth people. But if I just had a better... No, we don't need or have a better group. We've got it. Who are these people that are sitting around you? Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're all in the same spiritual family. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we might be also glorified with him. We are in a family of the children of God. You can't be in any better group. It's not a better group to be with. Here's what it is. It's a better consideration that I have for the group. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. I want to be here. I want you to be here for me. I want to be here for you. I consider you in the sense of I appreciate you. I appreciate each and every one of you. I want to try to help you to get to heaven. I want you to try to help me to get to heaven. And so we stir one another up to love and good works. I want to be here because I think about you. You are more important than what I'm watching on TV. You are more important than what's going on at work. You are more important than me being out at the lake. You personally. And I would hope that you feel that way about me. And so we're here to what? Stir up unto love and good works. Let us consider one another, verse 24, consider. So it's not a better group to be with. It's better consideration that I have for the group. I'm going to be there because I consider, which means I think about, I love them, I'm considering them, not just like I'm considering buying something. That's used. This is the word that means I think about them and want to be with them to help them. So consider one another to love and good works. How? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is. Sometimes the matter of attendance is uneasy. We get uneasy. Are you uneasy this morning a little bit? Is anybody uneasy? We get uneasy about some of these things, and I understand that. I appreciate that. But look at verse 25. It was the Hebrew writer that brought it up. He said that some had made the custom of not coming, and that's some brethren. He brought it up. He's not saying some out in the world. He's talking about some of the brethren that he's talking about in this book. He had already talked about brethren who were falling away. Some of those brethren had made the custom of not assembling. So if it's uneasy, it's uneasy because the Hebrew writer brought it up. It's the white elephant in the room. You know, we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to talk about it. But the Hebrew writer just said some are not coming. And so he dealt with it. We have to deal with it. It's a scripture. We have to talk about it. So it's not a better group to be with. It's my consideration of the group. And if I don't hold the group with that much consideration to be there, to encourage them, then I need to change that. I need to be a better student of the book. I need to be a better child of God. I need to have more love for God. Let me ask you this before we close this morning. What would it take to get us back tonight or Wednesday night? What would it take? Let me ask you a few questions. Does the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd, do they have more time than you do? Do they have more hours in the day than you do? They have a special calendar? I'm trying to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to get us to think. Do they have more time? No, they have the exact amount of time that you and I have. We all have the same amount of time. They choose to use it to be here. Does the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd have better transportation? No. We all have the same kind of cars. We all have good transportation. We all can get here. Have you ever taken your entire family on a motorcycle to services? Five people? A husband, wife, and three children. Have you ever done that? I've seen that multiple times in the Philippines. There are brethren in the Philippines who will travel much farther distances than we do in very difficult transportation scenarios, and they're there at every service. But does the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd have better transportation than we do? No. Does the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd live closer to the church building? That's why they're here. They live closer to the church building. No. No. Some of the ones that are back on Sunday night and Wednesday night, they live the farthest from the church building. Does the Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd have fewer family to get ready or fewer family obligations? There are those with no children who don't get ready. And then those who have a lot of children who get them all ready and get up and get ready. You see, it's not more time, it's not transportation, it's not distance to the church building, it's not fewer family obligations or whatever, it's attitude. It's not distance, it's desire. They have a different desire. They just have a different attitude. And they want to be here. And they are. And they make it happen. And we need to be like them. What would it take to get us back on Sunday night or Wednesday night? We all have work responsibilities, marriage and family responsibilities. We all have projects around the house, yards to cut, guests to come in and visit, errands to run, flat tires to fix, car repairs, favorite TV shows. We all have that. I have a favorite TV show. You might have a favorite TV show. We all have that. We're all tired, headaches, allergies, health issues, whatever the case might be. There are people here right now that are in pain, great pain, but they're here. Children with homework, parties to attend, and the list goes on and on. We all have those things. But some make those things secondary, and they put the Lord first, and they come, and they're present at each and every service. We sing in our songbooks, "When the roll is called up yonder." Listen, brethren, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We want to be there, don't we? We want to be there in heaven. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We all want to be there. But in order for us to be there when the roll is called up yonder, we need to be here when the roll is called here. In order to be in the roll that's called up yonder, we need to be on the roll that's called here. And being the first Sunday of the year, it's a great time to just go home and think about, I'm going to be here 52 Sundays, barring severe illness, barring inclement weather. I'm not even going to let work or anything like that stand in the way of being here. We need to think about these kinds of things. I normally don't appeal to things like this, but I ran across this and I thought it was good. I'll share it with you and then we'll close this morning. I love to sing the songs of God. Such worship must be right. This I do on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. And may God bless our preacher too and give him power and might. But put a sinner in my place, I won't be there Sunday night. I love to hear the gospel too. It gives me pure delight. I hear it every Sunday morning, but not Sunday night. I go through rain and sleet and snow, do anything that's right to be in church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I know I need more hope and strength to keep me in the fight. For help, I come on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. And then this is the last part that really kind of caught my attention. Yes, we all must someday die. I hope I'll be doing right, so I might die on Sunday morning and not on Sunday night. I thought about that. You know, we know the Lord's going to come. And if He came at a time when we're normally meeting, wouldn't we want to be in here when He comes and not somewhere else? We're all going to die one day. Where will we be when that day happens? You know where my grandfather died on my mother's side? You know where he died? He died, he had a heart attack in his car. Sitting up in his car, the hands were on the wheel, and he went to get the car, and he had a heart attack. Oh, he was going to the store, right? No, that's not where he was going. It was on a Sunday morning. He had gone out to get his car, to bring it up. We lived near our grandparents. Some of us went in one car. Some of us went with them. Actually, the Reeves had two cars. There were eight kids. Two cars for the Reeves, and then some went down and shared the car with my grandparents, Werners, and some of us were down there. My sister Sharon was there, I was there, and my brother Dale was there. I remember it like yesterday. We went down to the house, and the routine was we go in. Hi, Grandpa, Grandma, Sarah, good mornings. Grandpa would go outside and get the car. He had it in an outside garage shed. And then we would walk out on the porch and wait for him to pull up. He never pulled up. He had a heart attack on the way to church services. Isn't that the way you want to go? Isn't that the way I want to go? Or do we want to go, and we're all going to go one day, doing something else when we could have been doing something serving the Lord? He just never came up. So my brother Dale walked down there. We're just standing there. He walked down there. He came back and said, Grandfather apparently had a heart attack. We need to... That was before calling 911. We need to call the hospital. We need to call the ambulance. What happened? Well, he's dead. So he won't be pulling up this morning. So we're all going to die one day. And remember, the Lord's not on our time frame. So, you know, we can't say to the Lord, just don't make it Sunday night or Wednesday night. Let's do the best we can this year to serve the Lord and be present. I hope that I've tried to bring some things to encourage us, things from God's Word, not just my opinion, but things from God's Word to mature us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to get us better. It's given in the spirit of love. It is not given in the spirit of animosity toward anyone. It's given in the spirit of love. And most importantly, I hope it's the truth. I only want to bring what is true from God's Word. I love each and every one of you. I want all of us to go to heaven. If you see something in my life that I need to change, please, please bring that to my attention. We're here to help each other, and I hope that that has been helpful in some way. There may be someone here. Great way to start the new year, to be baptized into Christ scripturally, to put on Christ in the right way. If we can encourage you to do that, you've heard many lessons. You know what you need to do. You just need to make that change. We would encourage you to do that. For those of us who are members of the church, let's be present. Let's not let a non-member be here more than we are. Let us be here when the doors are open. We are the members. We have made that commitment. We have made that statement, and we need to live up to that. We need to be dependable. This evening, Lord willing, I'd like to bring a lesson on being dependable and being reliable. Dependable and reliable in this local congregation. That's what the Lord wants. Can He depend on you? Can He depend on me? And we'll be studying that this evening. And if we need to make a change, as a Christian, we've grown weak. We need the prayers of the saints. We want to encourage you to step forward and let your needs be made known. If it's something of a public nature, when I was young, you don't hear it much anymore. I don't know why, but when I was young, I used to hear older godly preachers, godly elders stand up and say that if a member of the church has been weak in their attendance, we would encourage them to come forward and pray for ask for the prayers of the saints, be encouraged, and I would ask you to do the same thing. It's something of a public nature. What I wanted to mention was, it was that part. it's something of a public nature. When we're regularly not here, everyone knows, and people are asking questions, and brethren are concerned. And so because it's a public nature, we're going to publicly say that I want to do better. And if we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Yeah,